you don't come from a musical family, considering that, how difficult was it growing up being so musically inclined?
It wasn't difficult because it was really something that was always in me. I think for anybody who's an artist of any type, it's just there. You can't really do anything about it. I mean, you sort of become an artist in spite of yourself. You try to do other things sometimes, and they don't seem to work out because the art is really what's always trying to get out from inside of you. So no, it wasn't difficult at all, being the only musical person in a non-musical family.
Okay, can you tell our readers about, your Nantucket trilogy and what it's meant to your career?
Oh, absolutely. When I first moved to Hull, Massachusetts, which was 4 years ago now, I wanted to get involved and do something for the community. And it occurred to me that Hull is primarily a tourist town. And the three big tourist attractions that we have are the Weir River Estuary, which is a state-designated area of critical environmental concern. We also have the Hull Life-Saving Museum, which is the former workplace of Joshua James, who is a famous lifesaver. And we have Paragon Park, which was an amusement attraction that was in Hull for the better part of the last century. The carousel from the amusement park still exists and is still in operation. And so I wanted to do something to draw attention to those three places as well as raise funds for them, because they were all needing funding as well, and especially in this time with so many cuts for so many things, I thought if I could do something to boost the attention on those places and hopefully get some more tourism and be able to also donate some money to what they do, that would be a great thing. So that was how I came to write my first musical on this river about the Weir River Estuary, and my second musical was a biographical musical drama about Joshua James, and the third one was about Paragon Park, or actually it takes place in Paragon Park, but there's a little bit of history there as well. And as far as my career, this really is a project that was just something I was doing because I was very interested in it as a composer, and it wound up really taking off and drawing quite a lot of attention, and it really became a terrific project that did a lot of good for the community and for a lot of people. So I'm very, very proud and very pleased that it turned out so well.
Okay, over the course of your career, you've been invited to play both Madison Square Garden and the White House. How did those happen, and how do you think those performances went?
They were both very good. Madison Square Garden was unusual. That was, I felt like I was being, an escapee from an Eastern Bloc country or something. When you get there, they have all these catacombs and tunnels underneath the stages there. I was there as part of a small group that was asked to sing during a festival there, and the group I was with got this invitation, and we went down there, and they sent us into these tunnels, and there were these men with headsets who would say, "Come here, come here, shh, come here," and they were kind of leading you along. Next thing you know, they were leading us into the complete darkness onto, I guess, what was the stage, and then all of a sudden the curtains open, and there's this blinding light, and you're on, and you sing, and then as soon as we were finished, the curtains closed, we couldn't see the lights anymore, we were in utter blackness, and these guys with the headsets, "Come follow us, quick, quick," and you go through the tunnels again, and next thing we knew, we were out on the street. So it was a very bizarre performance situation. I'd never experienced anything quite like that, but it was a lot of fun and definitely an interesting experience. Performing at the White House was something very dear to my heart. That was in conjunction with an album I released in February, which is a collection of music by the American composer Stephen Foster, which I had rearranged and did backup vocals for, and then Jennifer Love, a native of Pittsburgh, where Foster is from, was the vocalist who did the singing for that album. And I had written to the White House about it because, as admired as he is, I think Stephen Foster is still vastly unappreciated as an American composer and really the first American songwriter, someone who made a living writing popular songs. And so I wrote to the White House just to let them know about it because I thought it was a very significant project. And I figured that they were just going to say, "Hey, keep doing what you're doing, good luck." And instead, they wanted more details, and I sent them some audio samples per request, and next thing I knew, got an invitation to kick off the White House's holiday entertainment season in December of 2010. So that was very, very exciting, performing at the White House. I asked the aide that was assisting us who the last person to play on the piano there at the White House was before me, and he said Stevie Wonder, so that was that was a big thrill.
Great. What are you working on right now?
Great question. I'm currently at work on another biographical musical about a very famous Massachusetts historical figure. I'm anticipating having it completed by December of this year, and seeing if I can get that produced either in Boston or in New York. I have connections in both places, so it's looking like a good possibility that it'll be opening in one of those locations sometime in 2012.
Okay, great. In 2010, you received the state legislative citation for outstanding contributions to Massachusetts arts and culture. You had a really good 2010. How's your 2011 stacking up?
2011 has really been fantastic. I was very excited to finish up the Nantasket Trilogy with Where the Fun Begins. I was very excited to continue doing my research on my upcoming musical. And there were a lot of side projects in there as well. I have an album of yoga music in the works because I'm also a certified yoga instructor, so I thought it would be fun to do some yoga music. And there are always different projects going on. I'm also the host of a local television show in my area in which I interview musicians from the greater Boston area. And that's been very successful and very widely watched, which is kind of a surprise to me. But that's going great, and so I'm gearing up for another season doing that as well.
You play a plethora of instruments as well. How do you think that that plays a part in your songwriting process?
It's helpful to understand the nature of the different instruments and their capabilities. I think it certainly makes you a better orchestrator if you have some familiarity with the instruments that you're writing for. I remember back in my early days of orchestrating and scoring, I did an arrangement of a song, and as soon as I passed it out to the band that was playing it, one of the trumpets raised his hand and said, "We have a problem in measure 15." And I said, "What's that?" And he pointed to the trumpet and he said, "This instrument doesn't make that note." So trumpet is one of the instruments I don't play. So that was why that happened. But you know, definitely having familiarity helps you as you compose. Each instrument has its own sort of color, and you know, having a familiarity really helps give you a better perspective on what kind of sounds you can achieve as a composer.
Okay, how are you feeling about your career right now? Because the way it seems is like you've kind of taken, you know, your area by storm. You're like this huge fish there. Is that one of the reasons why you're kind of yearning to get to New York a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be great to be able to present my work before a broader audience. I've certainly had a great fan base here that have encouraged me to do that. And I like that I'm following my own path. I mean, I've certainly had people come to me and say, "Oh, you know, you should write about this, or you should work on this. These are things that would be very commercial. These are things that would sell." I don't know how any other artists create their works, but I really just follow what's of interest to me. For instance, this next musical I'm doing about a Massachusetts biographical figure is somebody that I find particularly fascinating, and that's really why I'm writing this. That's really how I felt about all three of my previous musicals. I just, you know, wrote about these subjects because they were interesting to me, and I definitely remember being told when I wrote On This River about the Weir River estuary, somebody saying, "You know, do you really think anybody's going to come see a musical about an estuary?" And my honest reaction was, I don't care. I'm writing it. If they want to come see it, they can see it. If they don't like it, they don't have to come see it. As it turned out, it was wildly successful. But I think that really is how great art gets made. It's when you're not worrying about a bottom line, when you're not worrying about what's commercial, when you're not worrying about what's trendy or what might sell. You really just, you know, do something from the heart. And I think when you do that, people react to it very strongly and it resonates with them.
Considering that, where would you like to pitch this current project in New York? Do you think it's suited for, you know, an off-Broadway audience, an off-off-Broadway audience?
Definitely off-Broadway. I've even had people suggest that I get in contact with a New York screen and screen and stage agent who might even pitch it to somebody as a film. The concept of a movie musical is pretty intriguing because that is something that would definitely reach a very wide audience. And I hadn't considered that until just about 6 months ago, but that's kind of an interesting concept as well that I certainly would be interested in exploring.
Okay, considering the fact of all the different things that you do, all the instruments you play, the singing, the songwriting, the yoga instructing, what would you like to be remembered for the most when your career is over?
That's a good question. I think I would like to be known as somebody who wrote good music, music that moved people, music that told a story. I'd like to think that the music I'm writing now will be just as good in the future, and that it will still find an appreciative audience. There's no better feeling as a composer when people come up to you, you know, and say, your song moved me to tears, or, you know, this song really spoke to me, or, you know, that song was so exciting, it really had me tapping my toes. Knowing that I write music that people can connect with is very important to me. I like to know that I've touched their emotions, because music can work through people in a way that words can't. And so I'd like to be remembered as somebody that wrote music that really spoke to people, and music that they found very readily accessible to them.